You're listening to Packers Talk Network. PackersTalk.com.
Let's talk in Pack.
You know, the kind of unofficial motto for this show is, as I've said before, honesty above all else. If it's good, I'll tell you it's good, and if it's shit, well, then I'll tell you that. I say that to say this. Sometimes sports just absolutely suck, and there is no silver lining. And that's where we are now with regards to the Green Bay Packers. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I'm your host, Chris Lempesis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here to break down Green Bay's. Hard to imagine a more devastating afternoon than that. 34-26 loss to the Denver Broncos on Sunday at Empower Field at Mile High. I mean, I'm sure there are more devastating scenarios for how it could have played out today in Denver on Sunday. But short of Jordan Love's right arm falling off, I can't really think of any right now. I guess that would qualify as a more devastating scenario. But other than that, no, this pretty much takes the cake right here. I pride myself on being able to make my fellow Packers fans feel better when things are down. That may not even be possible tonight. I don't know if this is going to be the darkest show I've ever done, but man, it's at least going to be near the top of the leaderboard, I'll say that. It was all going so well too, wasn't it? After taking a 23-14 lead early in the third on a huge 40-yard touchdown run from Josh Jacobs, Green Bay's defense forces a three and out, giving the ball back to the offense with a chance to put the home team, a squad that had won 10 in a row coming in, and is arguably the best team in the AFC, on the ropes. The Packers were in prime position to win their fifth game in a row and make a statement that they were, in fact, a true, bona fide Super Bowl contender, the rare team to be feared in a sea of parity. For a moment, you allowed yourself to think that maybe, just maybe, the early season struggles were all the way behind us, and it was all coming together at just the right time for this incredibly talented team. Everything you can hope for as an NFL fan. The moment, as it turns out, was oh so fleeting because just then, it all fell apart. Like the fucking loner car in The Mask, it just all completely and totally fell apart. Christian Watson leaves with an injury. Micah Parsons leaves with the dreaded non-contact injury. And that was just in the third quarter. Ah! Throw in Zach Tom, who left with a knee injury earlier in the game. And there's three of your most important, certainly 10 players at least. And it wasn't just Watson, Parsons, and Tom either. Evan Williams left. Quay Walker got hurt. Josh Wiley had a concussion. He left. It all piled up at ludicrous speed. And as a result, the Packers totally fell apart and end up on the losing end of this one. Beating Denver, I mean, especially after Parsons went down, even though the Packers were up 23-21 at that point, I just knew they weren't going to win the game. And they didn't. You know, you can only lose so many of your top guys before the whole thing just collapses, which is what happened. More on all that and where they go from here. Seriously, where the hell do they go from here? As we move along tonight. You know what would help make me feel a little better at least? You buying a Lemps Talk and Pack t-shirt. Can I just say that quick? Help your old pal Lemps out here. It's the heart of darkness for me here tonight. Come on! Again, they are on sale now, but only through Monday night. Tomorrow night, December 15th. Four colors, green, yellow, black, and white, sizes small to 5XL. Definitely have sold some so far, which is great, but there's more left. It's a great way to help the show out. Things like the Tuesday Night Mailbag show, for example. The more I sell, the easier it is to keep doing that show. So please, please consider getting one. And like I've said before, they're super comfortable. They look great. You won't be disappointed. And for everyone who's bought one, don't worry. I'll give you a shout out on the show when the sale is over. Probably on the Tuesday Night Mailbag show. With the loss, and again, what a gut punch loss that was. What an absolute fucking kick to the teeth that loss was. The Packers fall to 9-4-1 on the season now and drop to second place in the NFC. What is going on here? There we go. In the NFC North. They have been passed in the standings by the Chicago Bears, who improved to 10-4 thanks to a blowout 31-3 win over the Cleveland Browns in Chicago on Sunday. Hey, at least Green Bay doesn't have to travel to Chicago on a short week now. Oh, wait, they do? Well, then shit. The Detroit Lions lost a 41-34 shootout to the Los Angeles Rams in L.A. on Sunday, dropping their mark to 8-6 on the year. The Lions remain in third place. And the Minnesota Vikings are still in last place. But they did win Sunday, beating the Dallas Cowboys 34-26 in Dallas on Sunday Night Football. Just realized they won by the same score Green Bay lost by. Awesome. So Minnesota is now 6-8 on the year. Great. Congrats. Whatever. Green Bay obviously fell in the NFC playoff standings as well. The Packers are now the 7 seed in the conference. A playoff team still, but barely at this point. Before we get into the fun, and no, tonight might not, you know what? I'm just going to be honest. Tonight might not be that much fun, but shit, I don't know what to tell you. That's just kind of where we are right now. Hell of a sea change from last Sunday night. That's for damn sure, wouldn't you say? I have to do the shameless self-promotion, which I know you love, or at the very least tolerate. It's real simple. LempsTalkingPack.com. Okay, there's already been some shameless self-promoting tonight, but let's do some more now, so don't fast forward. Come on. Yeah, the website. LempsTalkingPack.com. Just like the show. Talking. No G. No G necessary. Hey, if I can do a show right after a game like that on Sunday, that's all the proof you need that I don't even carry the G, okay? I am the G, damn it. Go to the site. Bookmark the site. Love the site. There you'll find all the various social media channels I'm on, and I'm on almost all of them. So give me a follow one place or another. The email address. Drop me a line. I'd love to hear from you. And all the places you can find this show. iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all that crap. And remember, first, subscribe. Whatever platform you choose, make sure you're subscribing first and foremost to Packers Talk. Then leave a rating and or comment on whatever platform you're using too, because it all helps with that damn algorithm. So yeah, subscribe, then rating/comments. Keep them coming. Please, it all helps. And keep following the Packers Talk YouTube channel too. We're up over 1,000 followers now. Closing in on 2,000. We're zeroing in on 2,000 followers. And the LTP YouTube show is going to debut very soon. So you'll want to be following on YouTube so you can see it. No, I mean it. You're probably tired of me saying it. I mean it. It really is going to debut soon. In fact, we're going to really start work on it this week. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, you'll see it. It's going to happen. Don't be a dick. I promise it's going to happen. You can also find the Venmo and PayPal information there. So if you'd like to send me a little something-something, help me get some good beer to drink while I record, maybe, possibly, huh? That'd be great. What do you say? A trio of donations since you last heard from me from William H. My old friend Nevin B. Parkview Elementary School represent. Love you, man. And Kyle S. These three, all fine, excellent, upstanding gentlemen. A trio of excellence, I'd even say. Be like William H., Nevin B., and Kyle S., I say, because they all rock so hard. They really do. And remember, if you donate, I'll say your name here in this space and tell everyone how cool you are. Doesn't that sound awesome? I sure think so. And again, I'm not asking for much. Got an extra $5, $10. Hey, that works for me. Even a one-time $10 donation, when you think of all the content you get here for a full season, you come out way ahead in that deal. Now, I'd normally do the, you know, the whole, you're the Packers making the Micah Parsons trade in this deal bit at this point. But holy shit, that doesn't work now, does it? But you still come out way ahead, nevertheless. It's like 2 hours of content a week here during the regular season alone, not to mention all the off-season stuff that I do. So it's a good deal for you. Like, it really is. And before we go any further, I want to let you all know our show, my show, the one you're listening to right now, as well as all the shows on Packers Talk, sponsored once again by Wisconsin's own Ticket King. For over 30 years, Ticket King has been providing Packers tickets to Packer fans, as well as Bucks, Brewers, and Summerfest tickets. You can find them on the web at theticketking.com or visit their locations in Green Bay, right near Lambeau Field, and right here in downtown Milwaukee, baby. Remember to support local Wisconsin businesses. Hey, the Packers have a game coming up Saturday night, December 27th. Is that right? The 27th, isn't it? I'll even look at my calendar. Yeah, Saturday night, December 27th. At good old Lambeau Field against the Baltimore Ravens. You want to go to that game? Don't consider any other ticket site. Go to theticketking.com. They will take care of you. Theticketking.com is where it's at. I assure you. We love you, Ticket King. All right. Now that we've done got all that out the way, let's go. Let's dive right in. Hey, wait a second. Did someone say beer? Oh, God. Yeah, I'm going to need you tonight, alcohol. Oh, please get me through this alcohol. Actually, does anyone have any morphine or like horse tranquilizers? Okay, no. No, I'm kidding. I mean, unless you have some. No. I'm just joking. Just alcohol. That's enough. I think. I hope. Tonight I am drinking I went back. Now, Nevin, my old pal Nevin, when he donated, he said I needed to go get another Lakefront Brewery lager pack. Nevin, I did just that. I went and got one over the weekend. And tonight I am drinking the East Side Dark Lager. Figure since I'm in such a dark mood, the mood, you know, of the fandom right now is so dark, I figured I would drink an East Side Dark Lager. That felt very appropriate. The German lager yeast rounds out this brew with a smooth, complex finish, it says. Again, Lakefront Brewery, based here in Milwaukee. I'd like to support the local spots when I can. What's the alcohol on this? Does it even say? I hope it's a lot. 5.6% alcohol by volume. That'll do. Yeah. Yeah, that'll work. That'll play. And again, this beer I'm drinking tonight is paid for by listeners like you, so thanks, everyone. Cheers. Okay, now let's go. Now let's dive right in. No more stalling, no more bullshitting, even if I maybe want to. Let's talk about this Packers OL. Again, goddamn, it's been a long time since loss made me feel like I got socked in the gut like that, L. That's why you say it that way. Like the wind just got punched out of you. A truly awful feeling indeed. I tried to make the, ooh, L. That sound you make when someone just absolutely pops you in the stomach. Actually, honestly, if I'm being honest, I feel more like that big fat guy taking the cannonball to his stomach right now. That's really a better way to describe how I'm feeling at this moment. Either way, I feel terrible. I do. I really do. It's just dark. It's just dark right now. You know, as for the focus tonight, I want to put the focus on the injury suffered by Watson and Parsons. To me, that was kind of the biggest. That was kind of the biggest story of the game today. Hold on a second here. There we go. One of those injuries, you know, one of which at least is a season ender. And the other, we don't really know much about as of now, as far as a long-term prognosis. But it sure affected things Sunday in a very bad way. I do know that. Those two injuries just sucked the life out of the Packers. You could totally tell, couldn't you? I sure could. Which, I mean, how could it not? You know, these guys are human after all. They're not robots. They know how much those two bring to the table, respectively. Parsons especially is such a great player, an elite player, a true game changer, a rare talent. And he has quickly kind of become the heart of certainly the defense, but I think just this team as a whole as well. And it felt like that just got ripped out when he left the game. They just didn't have the same level of fight, the same level of compete. To use I believe that's a hockey term. And then after that, not consistently anyways, not to mention all the problems those respective injuries presented from a schematic standpoint, which was just as important and just as obvious. The biggest one, the death blow, is the injury to Parsons. And make no mistake, that is what that injury is. It's a death blow to, again, not just the defense, but the team. The superstar pass rusher going down with a non-contact knee injury late in the third quarter. The Packers fear it's a torn ACL. LaFleur said after the game, quote, "It doesn't look good. I'll leave it at that," end quote. So you know what that means. He tips his hand when, you know, he's tipping his hand when he says that. Said the same thing after Devontae Wyatt got injured on Thanksgiving. It's a torn ACL. His season's over. Let's be honest. We all knew that's what it was the moment it happened. When is a non-contact injury ever not serious? It's extremely rare. It's almost always like a torn ACL or a blown Achilles or some other awful thing. Almost always. Good thing I asked for that Parsons jersey for Christmas, eh? Good call, Lamps. Good call. And with Parsons now out the rest of the way, it's going to severely lower the ceiling for this defense. I really believe that. You know, kind of big picture here now regarding that injury. A group that was very, very good and sometimes great is now likely to experience an at least somewhat significant drop-off. You know, that's just the reality. You know, Parsons just made everyone on that unit better. He really was the foundation everything else was built on. The pass rush is going to take a big hit. Of course it is. We all know how much of a struggle it's been for the non-Parsons pass rushers to get to the quarterback consistently this year. You know, certainly the D-line, they have had issues with that. It's now much more likely to look like it did last year when Green Bay just could not get to the QB on a regular basis unless they were playing a trash offensive line. You know, certainly again, with regards to the front four, that was the case last year. It's probably going to be the case now with Parsons out. The Packers could blitz more. Yeah, and they likely will. But then they'll be potentially exposing a back end, a secondary that, as we certainly saw repeatedly Sunday, struggled to play well. These cornerbacks in particular, as we've seen all season, but again, especially Sunday against Denver, they really rely on the pass rush to be great in order for them to be successful. It's not a great group of corners. We all know that. You know, these guys have had their moments, but overall, this is not a great group of cornerbacks. That's just, again, just the reality. Just honesty above all else. That's where we're at here. But the run defense will suffer also. You saw the impact Parsons makes there on literally Denver's first series of the game. The first for either team as he strips RJ Harvey, forcing the turnover. Think of all the games Micah Parsons has impacted this year. All the games he's played a huge part in Green Bay winning. What's their record without him? You know? That's all gone now. And in short, I don't feel great about this group going forward as a result. I just don't. I don't think it's like a terrible defense now, but it's just, I don't think it's a great group. No. The Packers will have to lean more on their offense now, which that might be an issue if Watson's out any extended period of time. I mean, Watson, holy shit, on the first play of that ensuing drive from the offense following the big three and out I talked about earlier in the show. The first play! Jordan Love goes deep to Watson. He's picked off. And if that wasn't bad enough, Watson goes down with the chest injury on the play. He left the stadium in an ambulance and went to the hospital to get checked out. Head coach Matt LaFleur didn't have a real update on him after the game other than to say he left for a scan. Now, thankfully, Watson is flying home with the team, and his father said on Twitter that he's fine. But what all that means exactly, it's hard to say right now. No one knows. But obviously, seemed like a very scary injury. I mean, anytime you go to the hospital, scary injury. Who knows how long he'll be out? Watson's never been a real quick healer, which that's not me taking a shot at him or saying he's a wimp or a wuss or any of that shit. I want to stress that. It isn't. It's just kind of how it's been for him as a Packer. That's just, again, the reality with Christian Watson's time in Green Bay so far. He has not been a quick healer. Hopefully he's back soon. I'd love to eat my words on that. I'm obviously a big fan of his, as we all are. But if I had to guess, I feel like he's going to be out a little while. Yeah, at least. You saw how badly the offense struggled after he left. I mean, they only scored 3 points in 5 possessions with him out of the game, compared to 23 points in 6 possessions with him on the field. 6 if you count that last series with the interception, which I, of course, am counting. That's not a coincidence, my friends. Watson is that dude for this offense. An absolute game changer. A field tilter, a true athletic freak. Again, like Parsons, a rare talent whose skill set opens everything up for everyone else. He was the one guy who made it possible for the Packers to be able to absorb the loss of Tucker Kraft, the one truly special pass catcher they had left. Without him, there's just no one left for opposing defenses to truly fear. Everything becomes so much tighter and more congested with him not on the field. Again, you saw it Sunday. You saw the change in Denver's defense as soon as he left the game. It was open season for them at that point. They were able to get after it. They didn't fear Green Bay's offense anymore. I mean, I like Romeo Doubs. I like Dontayvion Wicks and Luke Musgrave. And I think Matthew Golden has a chance to be special in time, but he's not there yet. it's just not a great, great group overall without Watson. We all, you know, I think that's fair to say. We all know that. You saw how much it affected Love. He wasn't anywhere near the same after Watson left. Some of that is on Love. You know, some of it was the offensive line. Play got worse as the game went on. But really, I mean, it's tough for any QB to really make it work without at least one special target somewhere. Again, they don't have that now with Watson out. I hope he's back soon. I really hope he is. Because it's likely going to be a struggle for this offense as long as he's not out there. I don't know if it'll be as bad going forward as what we saw Sunday after he left the game. But it's going to be a struggle. No question about it. It's going to be a struggle for this offense without Christian Watson. And I'll tell you, you're probably wondering, Lemps, do you think the season is over now? Yes. It just feels to me like the season is really over. I've seen a lot of people saying it is, some saying it's not, but to me, it is. Not from a they'll miss the playoffs now standpoint. I still think this is a playoff team. Though they're certainly not the lock they were there when the day started. I do still feel pretty good about their chances to make the tournament, though. But I think this team's chances of getting to the Super Bowl, their chances of winning it all, yeah, those died Sunday in Denver. I really don't think they can get there without Parsons. Again, even if Watson does come back soon, and let's hope he's okay and that happens. The thing that had you feeling so good about the Packers was that they had a defense they could really rely on too. You loved the way the offense was hitting its stride, the way they were developing, you know? And you felt like that was quickly becoming a championship-level group. But in order to get to the Super Bowl and hoist the Lombardi Trophy, you have to be able to play complementary football consistently. You need a championship-level group on both sides of the ball. And I no longer think the Packers have that on the defensive side. Some guys, again, it's just, some guys are just, hold on a second, what is going on with this computer? Are you kidding me right now? Sorry about that. Some guys are just too important. Even my computer is having a dark night. Just everybody's struggling. Some guys are just too important to lose. And Parsons is one of them. You know? He is the second most important player on this team behind Love. I think this team had two guys they couldn't afford to lose. He was one of them, and they lost one of them today. So as sad as it is for me to say, I do think the Packers are now a team that probably will make the playoffs. And hey, maybe even surprise us and win a game. But I just don't see how they're going any further than that, you know? Feels like the second round of the playoffs is now, again, this team's ceiling. And when you consider how we felt just a week ago after the exciting, wonderful win over the Chicago Bears, well, that's about as depressing as it gets for a fan. All right, so those are my main thoughts on this one. I hope that all made sense. If it didn't, I mean, can you blame me? Holy shit. I'm going to give myself a pat on the back for even doing a show after an afternoon like that. Oh, my God. How could anyone be composed at a time like this? In fact, Eastside Dark, help me out. Ooh, that's a good beer. That is dark. That's a good beer. So now let's open the mailbag now, all the various bags that make up the one mailbag, I should say, for sampling a taste of your thoughts after this gut-wrenching, kick-in-the-teeth defeat. Again, just a sampling, a taste tonight. I'll get to the rest of the mailbag show on Tuesday. And as always, if you haven't sent anything in yet, don't worry, you have until Tuesday night to do so. All right, so let's see. I have 4 tweets, 0 DMs, 4, 8, 10, 8, 19. Oh, yep. That's 19 questions and comments. Yeah, I knew there'd be a lot after a game like that. Yeah, yeah. I knew there'd be a lot last week, because it was such an incredible win over Chicago, and this was such a high, as the Hold Steady would say, it was such a high last week, and such a crushing low tonight. I was like, I knew there'd be a lot of questions and comments after both, and there sure are. Makes total sense. So for tonight, let's take the usual 3, and we'll save the rest until Tuesday. All right, let's start with Twitter now. Hold on a second here. See, again, I had this all pulled up, and it's gone. Hold on here. Let me scroll back. Hold on. All right. So our first one comes from Get a Clue, or from Clues at Get a Clues, Please. Am I saying, is it Clues or Clues? We'll say Clues at Get a Clues, Please. Clues with a K. Yeah. Get a K-L-U-S, Please on Twitter. He hit me up after the game to ask simply, Where do we go from here? Well, Clouse, I recommend alcohol. If you can't get any horse tranquilizers or morphine, I say alcohol. That's right. That's where I'm going. That's where I've been going, and that's where I will be going, is alcohol. Yeah, I mean, where do they go from here? It's just, it's tough, you know? That's the thing about the NFL. It's like, it's just relentless. The schedule is relentless. You have a tough defeat, like the one the Packers had today. Parsons is out for the year now. You don't know when Watson's going to be back. You don't know if Tom's going to be back. Doesn't matter. 6 days from now, you're playing a game at Soldier Field on Saturday night. You know, there's no stopping. There's no rest for the wicked. It's just go. Tough loss, tough shit. You got another one next week. It's brutal. So where do they go from here? I mean, I don't know. I think this is just another tremendous test for Matt LaFleur and the coaching staff. Can they get this team to rally? Because it sure felt like the wind got kicked out of them after the Parsons injury. You know, there were moments, there were some good plays in there on both sides of the ball. But overall, it just felt like you could see, again, these guys are human. They're not robots. They know how valuable Parsons is. They know he's the second most valuable guy on the team, a guy they can't afford to lose. You know what I mean? You see it in all sports when a team loses a truly irreplaceable talent. You can just see the rest of the team, just it just sucks the life out of them. And it did for the Packers today. So is LaFleur going to be able to get this team to respond? It's a tremendous challenge for him. You know, and the coaching staff. And these players too. Everybody's going to be challenged. Can you pick up the pieces and suck it up and get ready for Chicago? Because Chicago's not going to feel bad for him. We know that. They don't give a shit. They don't care that Parsons is out for the year now. They're not going to feel 1% bad for Green Bay about that. So they have to suck it up and go to Chicago on Saturday. Somehow figure out a way to win that game. It's going to be really tough. Again, I don't... How are they going to move the ball offensively without... If Watson can't play... I would love to eat my words on this, and I hope we find out tomorrow or at some point in the week he's good to go and he's playing Saturday. And if he is, then that's fine. Then the offense can get back on a roll. But if he doesn't play, I don't know how they're going to move the ball. Everything just gets so tight and congested when he's out of the game, when he's off the field. No Watson and no Tucker Kraft. You know? Now, Chicago's defense obviously is not on the level of Denver's. Most aren't. But it's going to be tough for them to move the ball. You know? Teams are going to get after, they're going to get after Jordan Love. He's going to be blitzed more now, I think, because people are going to go, we don't really fear what you have on the back end here. We don't really fear what you have as far as this receiving group, so we're going to get after your ass. Can the offensive line hold up? If say, Tom doesn't play? I don't know. The offensive line seemed to get worse as the game went on, which is not a great sign. So I don't know. I hope I'm not rambling too much. Clues. I don't know where they go from here. You know, again, defensively, are they going to be able to get after the quarterback with any consistency now with Parsons out? I don't know. I feel like I'm repeating myself. You could blitz more, but holy shit. We all saw how Kayshawn Nixon played in this one. Hot and cold. He was cold. That was cold from Kayshawn Nixon today. Carrington Valentine struggled. These corners just aren't great. Overall, if the pass rush is no good, I don't know how they're going to... It's a long way of saying it's a tremendous challenge for Matt LaFleur and Jeff Hafley and the rest of the coaches to see if they can somehow craft a game plan around the pieces they have left. Because that's the most frustrating thing. It's like, even after losing Kraft, and even after losing Devontae Wyatt, two incredible talents, the Packers still had enough to get to and win the Super Bowl. I don't think that's the case now. No. Losing Parsons for the year, I don't think that's the case. It's like, they had dodged, they were able to absorb some really big blows and keep fighting. And I'm like, I just think this one is too big for them to absorb. Just sucks. So where do they go from here? I'm man, I don't know. I hope they can pick up the pieces and move on. I feel like Saturday night in Chicago is going to tell us everything. You know, if this team comes out and plays inspired football and somehow comes out with a win, I mean, I still don't think they have to win the Super Bowl, get to or win the Super Bowl, but you'll feel better about them going forward. But who knows? Maybe the Parsons injury will just be the backbreaker and this team won't be very good the rest of the way. I could see that too. I don't know. Feels like they're at a crossroads now. On that front, it sure does. So, all right. I hope that answered your question. Again, I hope that I might be rambling tonight. It was hard for me. I'll be honest with you, with all you. It was hard for me, and I know this is the case based on what people were telling me on social media too. It was all of you as well. It was hard to focus on that game after Parsons went out. Like, it really was. Like, you're watching, but in the whole time of your mind, you're just going like, how the hell did he get hurt? How the hell did Micah Parsons, on a non-contact injury, how did he blow his knee out? Because, again, we knew that's what it was. Let's be honest. We all knew. I had a really hard time focusing on the game. Of course, I was watching and taking notes, but it was a challenge. It was a challenge. I heard from people who said they just turned the game off after he got hurt. It was just like, it was tough. It was just, again, as much of a punch to the gut as you can have as a fan. Other than Jordan Love's, like, arm falling off or something. Brutal. Just a brutal day. Whew, terrible. Terrible afternoon. All right. Let's stay on Twitter now. We're going to go to Coach Smith. If I can find this. Where is this now? Coach Smith, who hit me up after the game on Twitter. Coach Smith at LukeTheDuke1 said, love the show. Again, it's on Twitter. Love the show. Not sure how fans don't realize the Parsons injury basically kills next season as well. If Parsons comes back in October, he's still on a pitch count for half the season, reducing his impact. All right. So thanks for writing in, Coach Smith. Well, appreciate you saying you love the show. Always nice to hear that. I don't know if I'd go as far as to say it kills next season. It hurts, though. The timing of this injury, again, it's obviously devastating for this season, but it's a big kick in the ass for next year, too. That's a kick to the balls for next year, too. Like, no question. You know, Watson got hurt, what? It was like early January, Watson got hurt. And he was about 9 months, he was back. Even if you really attack your rehab and crush the hell out of it, like Watson did, and credit to him for that, it's still about a 9-month injury. So Parsons, we're probably looking at, you know, maybe being ready. I don't know if he'll be ready. He'll be ready to, you know, maybe start practicing, say for the start of the regular season. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's, you know, put on the PUP list. Can you put guys on? I think you can put guys on IR, right, in camp, and then they're just out the first 4 weeks to start the season. Either way, it feels like they'll do that, and he'll be out at least the first, probably, I would think, 2 or 3 weeks of next year. Maybe the first month of next season. Could it be the first 6 weeks? They're going to be very cautious with him, as they should be. He is, again, the foundation of the defense. The second most important guy on the team. You're not going to rush him back. You don't want him back on the field until he's 100%. So I wouldn't think he'll be ready for the start of next season either. Now, having said that, I don't think it kills next season, Coach Smith. It certainly hurts. But, you know, they'll have a draft to get some pieces maybe on defense or pick up a cheapy free agent or two that could maybe help until he's back. So I don't think it kills next season. It hurts. What it does is it will impact the start of next season. I will say that. If he comes back in October, is he on a pitch count? He might be for the first couple of weeks. So, yeah, it could be. You could be looking at a scenario where it's mid-October by the time he's back 100%. You definitely could see that. But so I'll say it will impact the start of next season, but I don't think it kills next season. I wouldn't go that far. But certainly the timing of this injury, there's never a good time for it. But it's about the worst timing you could have for an injury of this magnitude. That's for damn sure. I will say that. So, all right. Thanks for writing in, Coach Smith. All right. We have one more. We're going to go to Blue Sky now. Pull this up. All right. Let me scroll back here. This is from Flying Saucer at BKV63 on Blue Sky. Hit me up after the game to ask simply, 11 wins takes the North? All right. It's a good way to close out this portion of the show tonight. Flying Saucer, I think 11 wins. Yeah, I think that's probably right. You know, I was looking, I when I figured out I was going to read your question on the show, I went and looked at the schedules for Detroit, Chicago, and Green Bay for the rest of the regular season. And if you'll allow me, I will read those now. So Detroit, the rest of their schedule goes home for Pittsburgh, at Minnesota on Christmas Day, short week, it's a Thursday, and then they close out the regular season at Chicago. Detroit's at 8-6 right now. I think the Lions probably, I'm going to say they win. They could certainly get to 11 wins. I feel like they probably win two of the last. I feel like the Lions are probably a 10-win team. Right? So let's go to Chicago now. But I certainly could see the Lions winning all three as well. Let's go to Chicago now. Chicago has, but I'm going to say they win two and they get to 10 wins. Chicago, Green Bay at home, at San Francisco, and then home for Detroit. Now, Chicago, I could see them losing all three of those games. Could they win all three? Potentially. I think these teams, I thought Green Bay was clearly ahead of Chicago and Detroit before today. But now, no Parsons. Who knows when Watson's going to be back? Who knows when Tom is going to be back? Who knows when Evan Williams is going to be back? I think these teams are now all essentially the same, with those three injuries factoring in for Green Bay. Yeah. So I could see anything, any combination. I could see Detroit going 11-6. I could see Detroit going 9-7. I mean, any combination. The same goes for Chicago. Could Chicago beat Green Bay at home? You know, a battered, rattled Green Bay team at home? Yeah. Could they win at San Francisco? Yeah. Could they beat Detroit? Yeah. So Chicago could win. They could finish with 13 wins. They could lose all those games and finish with 10. The Packers, now the Packers are at 9. I still feel like the Packers, I think I like their schedule the best as far as their record now and the schedule the rest of the way. Because I feel like Baltimore will be a tougher game, but that is at home. And the two Saturday night games in a row, by the way. Have the Packers ever had that? I don't think they have. The two Saturday night games in a row at home, they'll be back on a regular week after the Chicago game. I still feel good about their chances against Baltimore and against Minnesota in the regular season finale. So I feel good about the Packers. I think best about the Packers getting to 11 wins. I hope that makes sense, Flank Saucer. Yes, I think 11 wins will win the North. And I feel best about Green Bay's chances to get to 11 wins. That's the frustrating thing. I still think the Packers are going to finish with... I could see the Packers winning all three of these games and going 12-4-1. Winning the North, getting the 2 seed, and... I just think with Parsons out now, I think that's too much of a shot to withstand. First burp of the show, 37 minutes in, got to keep it real. So I think this team could, I think that's one of the things that probably has me the most depressed and frustrated is that I could still see the Packers winning 11 or 12 games, winning the division, getting like the 2 seed or the 3 seed, having a home playoff game at Lambeau. Maybe they win that, but I still don't think they go any further than that. No. No, again, some guys are just too valuable to lose, and I think he's one of them. So I think that kind of ties into it, is that they'll still win a lot of games. They're going to win a lot. They already have them, and they're going to win more. But the ultimate goal, I think that's not achievable now. No, that's really depressing. All right, so there you go. Again, just a taste of what everyone had to say after this one. I hope I answered all three of your questions again. Kind of a weird headspace right now. I'm sure I'm not alone on that, so I did my best. Tune in Wednesday to hear the rest. That rhymes. That's when you hear from me next, following the recording of my mailbag show on Tuesday. Recording it Tuesday night. You'll hear it sometime either Wednesday morning or early afternoon. So keep your eyes and your ears open for that one. And yes, I'll keep you posted. Again, those have been turning out, I say it every week, but what the hell? I'm in a bad mood, so I'm going to say it again to make myself feel better. They've been turning out really well all season. I've had so much fun doing them. So if you haven't been checking those out yet, maybe give it a try this week. I think you'll enjoy it. I really do. So until next time, whenever that may be, I am Chris Lempesis. This right here has been Lemp's Talkin' Pack. Thank you so very much for listening, Packer Nation. I love you, I love you, I love you. Please stay safe out there in this crazy world. And remember, always and forever, go Pack.